Pour yourself a cold one.
Let's drink them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it's Daddy Soda time here on the College Draft Podcast on a Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, which also means it is my 42nd birthday. I am officially twice the legal drinking age, which is insane, which means, yeah, it'll be Daddy Soda time for me tonight, probably around 6 p.m. Eastern time. I will have quite a few, at least a couple, right? It's only a Tuesday night, but I'll have a couple. Speaking of a couple, I have a couple of absolute studs on today's show. As always, Emory Hunt, who's known for being the czar of football game plan on YouTube, at FBall Game Plan on Twitter, and just came out with his unbelievable draft guide. I've already started to dive into it. FootballGamePlan.com/2021 draft guide. Make sure you get yourself a copy like I did. And our guest today to dive into wide receivers, which is an area he likes to really look at and specialize in, especially since his team, who just won the Super Bowl, you might have heard of it, has like six awesome wide receivers. My buddy, Stephen Che from the Going Deep podcast with Willie Colon, Joey Molinaro, and yes, of Tampa Bay Buccaneers fame. I always forget this, by the way, Stephen.
Yeah.
You live in Jersey. How did you become a Bucs fan?
So my dad immigrated here from Hong Kong when he was 18, and he likes the Jets and the Giants equally. I don't know if that's something that
That is not allowed. That is not okay.
Exactly. So I refused to root for one of those teams, even at like, 8 or 9 years old. I was like, all right, pick one. Who you're rolling with? And he's like, we like both. And I was like, nah, that's not it. So had to pick someone totally different and won a Super Bowl fairly early. I started following the team in 97. They were an exciting team, beat the 49ers. Very fun guys to play in video games, the Warwick Dunn, Mike Allstott, very good defense. And then, things started rolling. Won a Super Bowl early in my tenure. And then, it's been a cold, long 13 years, but the payoff was very worth it.
Yeah, I bet, man. I could talk, honestly, Emory, I could talk the whole podcast just about this Bucs team, and I might even get your thoughts on Chris Godwin as we move along here. But there's a lot of good receivers in this draft. I should mention, by the way, I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on all the social media platforms, and we are at Ross Tucker Pod. I will just say this, though, Stephen. I said all offseason that I don't think people understand the conscious or even subconscious impact of the Bucs having Tom Brady as their quarterback and the Patriots no longer having Tom Brady as their quarterback. And the only thing I said, Emory, was that when Brady's your quarterback, and this is New England, 05, 06, you know you're going to win the game. Like, and sometimes you don't, but in your mind, you're going to win the game. Whereas other quarterbacks you have, like you hope or you think you're going to win. Like with Brady, you know. And honestly, I've seen so many quotes now, Stephen, from different Bucs players who basically essentially said that. Like, it's like they just, well, we're going to win when you got Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say a problem with the team, but they have so many good players, but they're all very young and none of them have won really. I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul and like guys that have been imported yet, but they're homegrown guys. Like Lavonte David has been one of the best players in the league, despite what the NFL top 100 or the Pro Bowl will tell you, has been one of the best players in the league for the past 8-9 years. But he's a guy who's never even been to the playoffs. You have guys that are homegrown that have never seen success. Mike Evans, another tremendous player, has been there 7 years, never been to the playoffs, and now they have a guy who comes in, and Bruce Arians has said this. Yeah, they had the talent, but they just needed someone to show them they could win. And yeah, you're right. They've all referenced like, if it's close, well, we got Tom. And, that's how fans think. It's like, Tom Brady's going to lead him to win. And, true enough, that's how the guys on the field feel too. And that kind of permeates.
Meanwhile, Emery, because I follow you on Twitter at FBallGamePlan, what's up with North Dakota State? I mean, before we get into the receivers, because there's a lot, and I love the categories you have, Emery. What's up with North Dakota State getting smoked?
Man, they ain't getting smoked. They got stumped. Like, smoked is too nice of a word. And it goes to show you their biggest threat comes from within their own conference. And, you know, even though Southern Illinois is in the OVC, they play a lot of Missouri Valley Conference teams. And it's just amazing to see a team like Southern Illinois, because if I would have had to guess a team that would beat North Dakota State, it would have been, you know, Youngstown State, South Dakota State, Illinois State. But they went out there and got beat down. And it's funny to watch a team get confidence as the game goes on, because you go from hoping to win to maybe we have a chance to, oh, no, we're about to really beat the brakes off these dudes, and everybody's getting involved. And so it was a complete team effort. And it shows you how one important continuity is and how important the offseason is, because they didn't really have an offseason to get their next quarterback ready to play. And he went out there like he started his first game ever in college. And that showed you out there on the field, a more experienced quarterback was able to go out there for Southern Illinois and lead them to victory.
All right. So here's what we do on the College Draft Podcast, right? We break down the best college players. What we've been doing recently, you can check out quarterbacks a couple weeks ago, running backs last week. Today, it is wide receiver day here on the College Draft Podcast. For once a week, we're 30 minutes. We will get you ready for the 2021 NFL Draft. Here's the categories today. Split end, flanker, slot, inside, most underrated, small school sleeper, biggest surprise. And all of these categories every week come courtesy of Emery. He is the star of this show. He's the guy that somehow ranks 894 players or whatever it is. It's crazy. I got to ask a question, though, right from the start, Emery. I'm not exactly sure. What in your mind is the difference between slot and inside?
You know, it's funny because this is something that just started to really separate when we were when I started to do this like 5 or 6 years ago, when I really started to say, hey, let's just break these down by position. And those bigger inside receivers, I use Marcus Colson as the model, right? He's not the fastest to play outside, although you can put him outside. He's not really shifty enough to be a true slot receiver where he's winning, you know, quickly against zone coverage. But you want him running to where he's going to take that safety away. And so now the safety has to make a choice, especially if you have a dog on the outside. Man, do I get over top this dog on the outside, or do I get over top this big, tall receiver or this physical receiver over the middle of the field? It usually attacks that seam area, that dig area. So it's almost like a tight split, that's maybe like 6 inches or 6 feet off the line of scrimmage, but not further out wide by the numbers. So it's a tight split type X that could play inside.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. I figured I'd just ask you on the show because I know a bunch of the listeners would be like, wait a minute. What's the difference between slot and inside? That makes sense because it's weird to call a guy like with Colston's body type a slot receiver, even though that's what he did a lot in New Orleans. Killed, by the way, Stevens' team. Every time they played, just murdered them. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Which was tough because I'm a Hofstra guy.
Oh!
But there you go. There you go.
Well, it's funny. Dude, this is the truth. Marcus is from like 5 minutes from where I live right now. Okay.
Yeah,
he went to Susquehanna Township High School. He actually hired me to broadcast one of his arena team's games, the Harrisburg Stampede. Marcus is like, hey, I'll pay you X to come to the Hershey Giant Center to call the Stampede. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? If I can go 10 minutes from my house and do an indoor pro football game, like, let's do it. Like, it was awesome. So he's a very, very bright guy, very bright guy. Okay, that makes sense. And I think most people know this, Emery. But one last point of clarity before we get to split end and flanker. Look, we get new listeners all the time. We appreciate the new listeners. Thank you for rating and subscribing. What's the difference between split end and flanker? Easiest way to describe it, Emery, in your mind.
Easiest way would be split end's your number one. That's a guy that is going to get that single coverage on one side of the field, on the side by the tackle, the left tackle. That's his job. He's the one option in the passing game. He's the best route runner on your football team. The flanker is just like the split end, but he may be a little bit more athletic, a little bit more fluid, a little bit more explosive. So think in terms of Jerry Rice, John Taylor, and that's the model. You know, Jerry Rice, you're split in, but could also be a flanker. Some guys can play any one of the three positions, but if you're talking about, you know, classic number one versus number two, let's even use a contemporary example. Dez Bryant in Dallas, Miles Austin in Dallas. Austin would be the flanker. Dez would be the split end. Dez, a guy you want to go to in crunch time. You want the big play, you go to Miles Austin because he can catch a run and take it to the house.
And just for people, as they watch it, the flanker is off the ball, typically. He's to the tight end side, right? The split end is going to be on the ball, away from the tight end. All right, well, let's get to it then. Emery, who is your favorite split end in this draft and why?
It's the Heisman Trophy winner, Devonta Smith, out of Alabama, because, one, his routes are significantly improved over last season. He can win versus press. He's explosive off the ball. He can win at all different levels of the field. And we saw this play out this year. You know, he was able to handle the load, especially when Jalen Waddle got injured, because Waddle, we talked about this earlier in the summer, how Waddle was the best receiver on that football team. But, you know, now Smith had to go and work without Waddle's services, and they had brought in a new guy and Billingsley to try to help, you know, alleviate some of the pressure. But Smith was the go-to guy in crunch time early in the game when he needed a big play. So he handled those number one roles fairly well this year. And we saw him just cap off a tremendous career with an outstanding championship game. So he is the most polished of that position, in my opinion, in this class.
How and concerned funny, are you about
sorry, Steve. I was just going to say, it's funny, Emery, because Steve and I were texting a few weeks ago. I knew I wanted to get him on the show. I was like, what position group do you want to get into? He's like, receiver. I'm like, okay. I said, any particular reason? Like, I don't think Devonta Smith should be a top 10 pick. So, Steven, you've got the floor now. Let's hear it. This is perfect.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I think Devonta Smith is going to be a really good player. But when we look historically, especially recently at the draft, wide receivers typically are not top 10 picks. In the last 5 years, there has been one draft that has had a receiver taken in the top 10. In fairness, that draft had three receivers taken in the top 10. But generally, it's not a position we see go early. And we see guys, even last year, we saw a lot of value in second-round guys. This year is, I would say, actually very I don't want to say like a fork in the road year, but we're starting to see a shift with just like the size in receivers. Devonta Smith, you know, I'll get into his size in a minute. But we're seeing a lot of guys that are like 5'10", 5'9", that are going to be probably day two and early day three picks. But Devonta Smith is really interesting because, you know, the production is incredible. I mean, first wide receiver to win a Heisman Trophy in 30 years since Desmond Howard. So he's awesome. But when you look at guys that go in the top 10, these are freak shows. These are Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, like Larry Fitzgerald, like enormous guys, ex receivers who can separate, win 50-50 balls, and can endure the typical punishment of the NFL game. Now, I realize the game has changed a little bit less physical with a lot more flags and things like that. But what is Devonta Smith really weighing? Are we buying that he's 175 pounds? I mean, we've all seen this guy, right? This guy is an absolute toothpick. Not to say, again, he's not a good player, and I think he will be a good pro. But when we look at the top 10 and the current draft order, of course there can be trades. You know, maybe the Jets trade down or something like that. But if he doesn't go to the Eagles at 6, which he absolutely could, I can't see him going to the top 10. We got Detroit number 7, potentially a need with Kenny Golladay maybe not being re-signed, but you talk about Dan Campbell talking about you know, he wants guys that are going to bite guys' kneecaps off. You think his first pick is going to be a skinny wide receiver? Then we got Carolina at 8, who is a candidate to move up, but they have two very good receivers. And then 9 and 10, we've got you know, Denver, who took two receivers pretty early last year with Jeudy and Hamler. And then 10, we got, you know, a very loaded receiving squad that took a receiver first round last year in CeeDee Lamb. So certainly I think he can go to the Giants at 11. But just when you look at the positional value, I don't really see it there. He is a really good player, though, and his wingspan kind of makes up for a lot of that. He's got great contact balance and agility, especially for a guy his size. But I just don't see him going in the top 10. The reason this kind of blew up is because when I tweeted, I can't see a team spending a top 10 pick on a 175-pound receiver. It was right before his third touchdown in the national championship game. So I was just been barbecued by Twitter users for days after that happened. But I think in the end, I'm going to end up being right because, the draft is, you draft for traits, not necessarily production. I think that he has a lot of production. I think he has some traits for sure, or he has a lot of traits, but the physical profile doesn't really match up with a top 10 pick.
Well, here's the thing, because that's two different conversations. Will he go in the top 10 versus would you take him in the top 10?
Correct.
And, I'm the person you're barking up the wrong tree with the whole size thing. I'm team size is not a skill. If you're good enough, you're big enough. So I just watched him dominate, at whatever weight he is at Alabama. Teams going into the game thinking they can get a hand on him, but you can't hit what you can't catch. You can't hurt what you can't touch. They had a hard time at the line of scrimmage getting their hands on Devonta Smith, juxtaposed to a guy I have as a flanker that had issues when people got their hands on him. We didn't see that with Smith. So I'm not too particularly worried about that. We saw Marvin Harrison at Syracuse had the same kind of questions, and he was about 171 pounds, with pads on, double knee pads and double thigh pads in his pants. So it's all about how you play. You're a Bucks fan. Warg Dunn was 178 pounds and ran for over 10,000 yards. He should be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So if you're good enough, you're big enough. And if you allow because we see some big guys that can't get off bump press or can't win downfield or can't do anything that you would expect a physical guy to do. I grew up, we call those dudes big for nothing, right? You can't get rebounds. You see that a lot, man. But when you look at Smith, I feel you like, man, this dude don't have no muscles, no calves. How is he able to win? He should be able to be broken in half. So I understand the sentiment, but I think for him, he's able to find ways to win at his size.
All right, we got to get to some other guy. Okay. I mean, we're 17 minutes in, we haven't even gotten Steven's best split end yet. Who? I know you despise Devonta Smith. I'm just kidding. You didn't say it at all.
I think he's going to be a good player. I just don't see him going.
I know. But who is your favorite split end?
It's a guy that didn't play this year. It's Ja'Marr Chase. This is a guy who, he's right up there with Smith. You can make the argument 1A, 1B. Definitely more of a physical profile. But he's just that guy. So physical, and he's killed big time NFL guys. I mean, CJ Henderson, AJ Terrell, JC Horn is probably going to be a first round pick this year. Trayvon Diggs. I mean, he's a man among boys. He was the number one receiver with Justin Jefferson on the team. And Justin Jefferson is, the best rookie wide receiver statistically we've seen maybe ever. He's legit. I just made this big argument about how you don't pick receivers high, but Ja'Marr Chase is a legit guy you can pick in the top 10 because he has that production and he has the physical profile and, his tape is there. I mean, he's just killing guys. He's a guy that I would prefer as, the starting X if I were starting a team like this.
All right, let's get to flanker, Emery, and I want to know who your top flanker is in this year's draft.
It's Jalen Waddle at Alabama, but to Steven's point, Chase is my number two flanker because I just like how fluid that dude is. Dude, just like, here's like watching Penny Hardaway play football when you watch Ja'Marr Chase. But when you look at Jalen Waddle, Waddle's speed does not make sense. It's Joey Galloway like explosiveness. It's Rocket Ishmael type speed in football pads. When you're talking about Jalen Waddle, he can really hit that second gear. And you give him any type of play, whether it's the wide receiver run game or, in these short, quick passes, he can literally go the distance on any play. And so when you have that ability to ring the cash register up pretty quickly, I want you on my football team. I just think that he is one of the more polished guys at that position, considering he didn't get a lot of targets, because of what's going on at Alabama with all the targets. And, you have Harris in the backfield. So he did more with fewer targets in his at Alabama, but he is tremendous, and I hope that ankle injury doesn't linger, because what we saw in that championship game was brutal to see him limp. I hope that doesn't affect him moving forward, and we can get see him pre-injury at the NFL level.
What about you at the flanker position, Steven?
Yeah, I mean, Jaylen Waddle for sure. I mean, if you can't get hands on this guy at the line of scrimmage, that's going to be a huge problem. But what kind of separates him, you know, obviously Emery's talking about, his speed. He does have this tremendous ability to like gear down and then gear up to top speed faster than anyone around him. Like kind of a car, you know, you see, I drive a Hyundai Elantra. That going 0 to 60 is much different than, you know, I'm sure like a Ferrari or a BMW or something like that. That's kind of what you see with Jaylen Waddle. But what makes him so interesting is he's also, despite his size, and he's a guy who's just under 5'10", like a little over 180 pounds, he's a guy who can make contested catches too. I mean, he made 10 contested catches on 15 opportunities, and he's a guy that can go get the ball. So he's an interesting guy. Despite the size, you know, you see him able to, you know, get in on breaks. He brings tremendous value as a returner, but he can also, you know, go get those jump balls.
Let's move on to slot. Again, we talked earlier about the difference between slot and inside. Who's your top slot guy, Emery?
It's Tutu Atwell. And for someone like you talk about someone that's thin. I mean, yeah. He is legitimately built like a eighth grader. But, you know, the dude has speed that he can get legitimately anywhere he wants on the football field. Like, if he wants to get to that far corner from the far right hash, he can get there quickly. But also, like what you talked about with someone like Waddle, to be quite honest, Atwell, despite being small, doesn't play small at the catch point. So he's going up and trying to win those balls at above the rim. He's able to absorb contact while catching the football. He is tremendous. So I think he is the quintessential slot receiver. He's probably more of the deep threat from the slot position than what you'll see normally. Normally, slot guys, you don't have the deep speed. You have more quick, shifty guys. But goodness, when they want that deep over route, they dial up Tutu Atwell. He's able to win that one consistently.
Steven?
Yeah, for the slot, Tutu Atwell is certainly a choice you can go with. I prefer Elijah Moore. Also a small guy. He's 5'9", 185. But just like a ton of, and you know, I'm kind of going against my argument before, but as far as like traits for production was incredible this year. I mean, he was part of that, you know, lane train offense where they just kind of fed him. He had double digit catches in 8 of his 9 games this year. But what I like about him is, you know, despite his size profile, again, he's like 5'9", 185. He's not like one of these, and we see a lot of these guys, especially coming out this year, which is what I'm talking about, kind of the fork in the road with receivers coming out. He's not one of these gadget guys that you like have to manufacture targets for. Now, they did do that. They did line him up, wildcat quarterback sometimes in the backfield. But he's a guy that runs, routes down the field and is very effective at it. He's not, he's not going to burn up the, you know, what would be the combine with, you know, sub 4.4 speed or anything like that. But he is a fast guy and quick out of his breaks, and has a lot of good on-ball production that was encouraging. So I like him as the slot.
Yeah, Moore is like the perfect third down back, because what you said, you can put him in the backfield. I could tell he has running back in his background, how natural he is running the football from that position.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to your inside guy, Emery. Again, this is the bigger guy that plays inside, not necessarily the shifty slot guy.
Frank Darby of Arizona State, for 6'1", 200 pounds or whatever his size is, his true size is, he has great body control. So anything on those blaze outs, those, you know, speed outs, bench routes, whatever you want to call it, he runs those routes very well. So he's able to win consistently there. He's very good as far as the catch point is concerned. So he's good enough to where you're going to have to find help to help your cornerback over the, you know, the middle of the field. If you want to line him up outside, you can. He's a solid red zone threat. I just don't think he's that much of a run after the catch guy. It's like where he catches the football, that's where he's going to be. But as far as catching the football, getting open, body control, all those traits, he has those. I think he was the best one, in my opinion, at that position in his class.
Steven?
Yeah, so Emery, I like the way that you kind of delineated these because, yeah, the inside is a lot different from the slot when you're typically speaking about size and traits and things like that. For inside, I like a guy who actually is like a guy that went through his current college, but Amon-Ra St. Brown. He actually reminds me a lot of Juju Smith-Schuster as far as size and kind of what he brings to the table. 6'1", 195. Didn't play a ton of games this year, just 6 games, but last year, over 1,000 yards, about half a dozen touchdowns. He's a guy that can, you know, line up inside and kind of dominate over the middle of the field. He's not going to, you know, take the top off the defense, but he's a good run blocker. He's a guy that I like, former 5-star guy, so, you know, high ceiling there. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is a guy that I would take on the inside.
So I met him, and I called his game in the U.S. Army Bowl. And what I would say about Amon-Ra is very, very confident. Like, I mean, he is tough in every ass. Like, he's going to block. I don't think he's that physically gifted. He's just good and tough and mean. And I was impressed by him. I was impressed by his mentality. All right, let's get to the Emery specials, I call them, Steven. The guys that hardly only their parents and Emery know about them, but they're good. We'll start with the most underrated. This guy can actually fly. I did his game against UB. This guy is a big play dude. Isaiah McCoy from Kent State.
Yeah, I was surprised at how dynamic this dude was. He caught my attention last year in that bowl game against Utah State, I believe. And I was like, man, this dude is just ridiculous. And he's 6'3", 200 pounds, so he has that height, weight, speed, size profile that people love. But how he tracks the football, to me, makes him a deep threat. You know, it's never about your speed. It's about how well you can go get the ball and put yourself in position to go get the ball. And he does that better than I believe than most people in this class. But he is able to attack at his highest point. He reminds me a lot of Antonio Bryant and how he used to just attack the ball. Everything's just violent with him and just physical. And you need that type of dog out there on the perimeter. That's why I'm a big fan of his game.
So my second year in the NFL, I started the last 7 games for the Cowboys at left guard in 2002. Antonio Bryant was a rookie, and he was good, really good. But that guy had something going on. He would get on the bus before the game, listen to music, and it'd be like, don't care whether we win or lose, just going to get all my catches, going to get my money. I mean, that guy, I'd be fascinated to hear what he's doing now. Who you got for most underrated, Steven?
I like a guy out of UNC. It's Diami Brown, 6'1", 185. He's put together back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, but with extra impressive about him is he's averaging 20 yards per catch in both seasons. He's a junior. I like him coming out. He's just got a little bit of wiggle, and you know, he can make those contested catches. So he's a guy that I like as kind of an underrated guy. I haven't seen him mocked particularly high, but I think he's a guy that more people should be talking about.
UNC, they got like 2 awesome running backs. They got that Dax Newsom. Yeah. I mean, they got a bunch of good, like they got a lot of dudes. Yeah. All right, what about your small school sleeper, Emery?
This school quietly has been a little pro factory the last 3 years, man, with the dudes they put out defensively and on offense. This year, Mike Strong, the receiver, 6'5", 225. When you watch small school games, you look at someone and you immediately want to see someone stand out. You watch him, you're like, man, this dude look like Joel Embiid out there. This dude is the biggest dude on the field. And so he's 6'5", but he could run, and he could play on the outside. He could play that inside receiver position as well. He goes and plays above the rim. He's a 50-50 target, and the dude actually can run after the catch. He opted out this year because obviously their school didn't play. Charleston didn't play, but Charleston has so many other prospects as well. We'll be talking about 2 more next year, but this dude here fits the physical profile. He was on the Senior Bowl watch list. And so he is one that the league is definitely familiar with.
How about you?
So I'm going to, I don't know how small we can go here, but I went to Conference USA, North Texas, the Mean Green, Jalen Darden. He's another kind of a smallish wide receiver. Again, there's a lot of these, you know, 5'9", 5'10 guys. He's 5'9", 175 pounds. But he's a monster. I mean, Conference USA, he had a touchdown in every game for the Mean Green this year. Three-game stretch, 36 catches, 552 yards, and five touchdowns. Again, his physical profile, 5'9", 175. It's going to limit him a little bit, but he's just a guy production-wise that was dominant. I think he definitely has a ceiling on the next level, especially, you know, kind of getting off press and things like that. But he's a guy, a small school guy that I like to go and make a roster and maybe have a small impact.
Last but not least, who is your biggest surprise watching him on tape, Emery?
There were two guys. You look at Kawan Baker from South Alabama, you know, him and Austin Watkins from UAB. Both guys are explosive off the ball, so they can really get out there and get into their routes pretty quickly and get open and separate. So those traits alone translate, but you also see a path for those guys being stud gunners at the pro level because of that explosiveness and speed. And when you have that ability to get on the field first as a rookie wide receiver, normally it takes rookie wide receivers a little bit of time to really make their way, but because they're so explosive and dynamic off the ball, they can make waves right away as gunners and then earning some more time on the field in which those skills will translate. But both of those receivers are tremendous athletes that can catch the ball. They can get deep, but I think they can make their impacts early on special teams.
And Steven, your biggest surprise, you already talked about him, Elijah Moore.
It's Elijah Moore just because, again, like maybe I just have, bad recall from like Tavon Austin and smaller guys who, you know, you have high hopes for because they're so explosive. You can get in and breaks. You can manufacture touches with them or they can run routes. But I've never been, you know, a guy to pick. You never want to pick the exceptions because then you just have a team full of exceptions. But he's a guy that despite that smallish frame, you know, half my top 10 board on my receivers is under 6 feet tall. But he's my second highest ranked one after Waddle. Because, again, he breaks the mold of, you know, the typical gadget guy like Kadarius Toney. You know, he's a guy that is so fascinating to watch running routes, you know, against one-on-one corners or against, you know, air because he can just move so differently. But as far as, like, production in-game, Elijah Moore, he just kind of, you know, is a different guy, runs routes down the field and is a receiver. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that really surprised me just because based on the physical profile, I was like, all right, this is going to be another one of these, you know, 5'9", 5'10 guys who, you know, not going to go get it. They're going to manufacture touch with them and all these touch passes. But he's a different guy.
This was awesome. Here's what everybody needs to do. Check out Steven on Twitter at Steven Che. It's C-H-E-A-H. He's got an awesome podcast at Going Deep, which he said like a year ago he'd have me on as a guest. Evidently, I haven't made the cut. Although I got to be honest with you, they have like legit like active NFL players all the time. I'm like low on their pecking order right now.
We will absolutely have you on, buddy.
Awesome. I can't wait. And of course, Emery's just the man with the plan. You got it. I mean, look, anybody that references Joey Galloway and Rocket Ismail when they're referencing one player and then Antonio Bryant when they're referencing another player, that is why he's my guy right there. At F-Ball Game Plan on Twitter, Football Game Plan on YouTube, and most importantly, get it now. It's the perfect time to get it. FootballGamePlan.com/2021 draft guide. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for listening to the College Draft Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and The Business of Sports. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.